Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, that you are here because, and we know that you're here because there's been so many miracles take place in this little congregation and in those out amongst us. And so, Father, we know that you're directing weather, you're healing bodies, you've just taken over our lives, and we're so thankful for that. And actually, we're looking forward to just being in your presence for eternity. So, knowing that all things work together for our good. And Father, it's just going to be such a lovely time that we don't have to worry about the world's conditions because the conditions will be a reflection of who you are. And so, Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for getting us prepared for going home. And Lord, we just pray that we take one more look at the end time that we're living in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this be number 215 in Satan's Eden, called the New World Order. And we're reading from paragraph 54, where Brother Bram said, "Now he brought forth this Eden that they now live in, a church world's Eden." So notice that he says that we now live in. Okay, so not only was it coming forth, but now it's brought forth, and it's the church world that we live in. Okay, so he's talking about today. "They are all united together now at the great council of churches." Ecumenical council, excuse me, and going to have the world church. Now, going to have means it's not really finished yet at his time, but it's in the making. Okay, the seed is been planted. All coming under one head, where Satan will be thrown, just exactly. Okay, so literally, the literal crowning of Satan is right around the corner. Now, Cardinal Vergano was the Vatican Apostolic Nuncio to the USA from 2011 to 2016 until Pope Francis ended his career because he disagreed with the direction the Pope was taking the church. Now, if you think about this, it's cancel culture, right? Where is it coming from? The Vatican. What have they done in France? The number one person for a president was thrown in jail, not allowed to vote, not allowed to be on the vote. In Romania, same thing. In Brazil, same thing. They tried it here in America. It didn't work. But they've tried it in all these countries around the world, so it shows that it's. If you want to say there's a preeminent attribute of the mark of the beast system, it's cancel culture, boycotting. That's what the Bible says. That's what we see, okay? Cardinal Vergano says the Vatican has been taken over, has taken over the whole world. That's what the prophet said, right? In order to bring on a new world order that this Pope wants to be the head of. Now, from the letter inside the Vatican, they stated, the Archbishop's lengthy remarks cover many topics, but center on the connection between the results of the Second Vatican Council and the relations of those results to the concept of the new world order. The Archbishop traces this concept back to the 1960s. That's Brother Branham's time. Though the term first entered public lexicon, in other words, we all knew it, but the world didn't know it. So the public lexicon, when spoken by President George H.W. Bush on September 11th, 1990, you remember his evil face said, "We're entering a new world order," you know. So anyway, that's the first time publicly. The article states, he stated, "A fair and objective look at the current situation cannot help but grasp the perfect coherence between the evolution of the global political framework and the role of the Catholic Church." Didn't Brother Bram talk about that, when they can't get it done with the Catholic Church, so they're going to merge with politics, has assumed in the establishment of the New World Order. So he is now saying what the prophet said. All right. Now, remember, Brother Bram said in his sermon, Jezebel Religion, he said, "Then one day after sin had taken its toll and God has brought his people to their knees." Now, didn't we come to our knees during COVID? The people did. I mean, the 6 million people around the world came, you know, went to their knees and just in objection or subjection. Okay, Jezebel took everything. She wiped it all up, and she'll do it again. That's a prophecy, okay? Thus saith the God's holy Bible, she'll do it again. She's right on the throne now, being the figurehead, twisting it any way she wants to, and nobody is going to stop her. You hear that, Mr. Trump? President Trump? You're not going to be able to stop her. I wish you would just bomb her, but or ask Putin to do it quickly so we can get out of here, okay? Certainly nobody's going to stop her now, because what they couldn't get done in the religious circles, they cut it all into politics, and there they done it. We are now watching the manifestation. I've said this before, I'll say it again. We're watching the politics merge with the Catholic Church, and they're just taking over everything. So where do they do it? He said in politics. Though the Catholic Church is a religious organization, she will bring her power into politics. And then the optics will become clear. Have we ever had a pope who spoke out against a president until Francis spoke out against Trump in the first term? Ever? He didn't speak out against Biden. He didn't speak out against George Bush or H. Bush or Clinton or Obama. They were doing filthy things, and he didn't speak out about that. But he spoke out about Trump. You see now it's manifested, all right? And the Bible said it. See, so what is a boy... Though the Catholic Church is a religious organization, she will bring her power into politics. That's what she done. And then the optics will become clear. See, we are not deceived. We know exactly what the prophet said, and we see it exactly in the whole system, okay? Uh-huh. That's exactly what they done, which the political will be a boycott. You hear that? The political will be a boycott. It's a cancel culture. Just exactly back to the mark of the beast, I'm sure, as I'm standing here. See? So Brother Branham is saying it's going to be a boycott, which is a cancel culture. All right? We have people canceling out Tesla. You know, during the last administration, we had people canceling out. You couldn't fly on a plane without wearing a mask, doing all these other things. You couldn't do anything without, you know, taking the thing. And so it's all just a cancel culture, and that is the attributes of Satan's Eden. All right? And he is ahead. And the Bible said, see, so what is a boycott? It's nothing but cancel culture. And the world is full of cancel culture today, which is nothing short of a boycott. They did it all from 2020 to 2024. And look how they are repeating it with Tesla. And if they can't win in the polls, and if they win in the polls, it's still boycott. If they can't win in the polls, boycott. If they win in the polls, guess what? 2020 to 2024, boycott. So you see, it doesn't matter if you win or you lose, it's boycott. It's the same attribute expressed through the political system, which is the Catholic Church. The Catholic cardinal said it. He was the nuncio to the United States for 15 years or so, and Brother Branham said it before him. All right? So he's acknowledging what the Catholic Church is doing. Brother Branham prophesied what the Catholic Church would do. You see? So if they, let me just say it again. If they can't win in the polls, boycott. If they win in the polls, boycott. Why? Because that is all the children of Satan, that's all they know. Didn't they try to boycott Jesus and get rid of him? Same thing. Didn't they do that to all the prophets? Same thing. Didn't they do that to the Christians during the Dark Ages? Same thing. They canceled them out. They got rid of them. Didn't Jesus say in Matthew 23:32, fill ye up the measure of your fathers? What's the measure of Satan? Boycott. If you don't agree with me, you're out. That's it. Boycott. All right? They can't help. Look, we've seen it everywhere. We've seen it in Pentecost. We've seen it in Lutheran Church. We've seen it in Catholic Church. We've seen it even in this message. If you say things to them that they don't believe, and yet you're quoting the prophet, boycott. cancel culture. You're out of here. We've drawn you out of our circle, and yet the prophet said, make the circle bigger and try to draw them back in. So our job is to try to make the circle bigger. Their job is to eliminate you. So be careful when you do it and how you do it, okay? They can't help what they're doing. And yet they're doing what's in their nature to do. Didn't God set an order in life? Didn't he set a pattern to life? To all life? Every seed in Genesis, when he spoke of the law of life in Genesis 1:11, every seed after or will bring forth after their kind, which means after their life and nature. So Cardinal Vigano went on to say, to be more precise, one should speak about the role of that apparent majority in the church, which is actually small in number but extremely powerful, and which, for brevity's sake, I will summarize as the deep state. Or the deep church, excuse me. So they have a deep state too. We have a deep state. France has a deep state. UK has a deep state. You know, if I were living in UK, I would be arrested. All right? Because their laws are so evil that you can't even, listen, Australia just passed a law, and it starts in April, that if you are seen praying in public, you go to jail. They've done that already in the UK. A woman was standing 300 feet from an abortion clinic, and she was just kind of silently praying. And the thought police came up and said, what are you doing? She said, I'm praying. They grabbed her, they arrested her. Can you imagine? There's no ability in the world anymore to speak publicly like we do, and X is full of it, and I'm glad for it. And I tell you what, pray for Elon Musk. I don't know if you like the Tesla or not. It doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter to me if you like the SpaceX or whatever. Just pray for the man, because he's doing right. He's trying to do right with free speech, okay? So, then it is no mystery that the Catholic Church is the author of the deep state. Because he said, I will summarize as the deep state, talking about the Catholic Church, or the deep church. As we see it in almost every country on earth, it is the way Satan plans to bring forth his Eden. He will do it. Notice, Cardinal says, there's less people that are in control in the Vatican than there are people that are not in control, but you know what? They're winning. You know, when Russia was communist, only 2% of the Russian people were communists, but they were winning. You know, when the Biden administration allowed the LGBTQ, XYZ, double XYZ, and whatever, you know, BLT sandwich, you know, people, there's only 0.2% of them in this country. 0.2. And yet they were winning. They wrote, the flags are all, the White House was red, white, and blue and everything. And it wasn't red, white, and blue. It was whatever their colors are. You notice their colors are 6, and the Bible says the rainbow is 7. So he that shall take away shall be guilty. You know, he'll take his name out of the book of life. So you see, all these people are lost. Brother Branham called them cannon fodder. That's a pretty harsh word, you know, cannon fodder. Do you say people are cannon fodder? The prophet did. Are you quoting the prophet? Or are you just listening to what he says and let him say it? Because he's a prophet. Let him say it. Why don't you say what he says? It's just cannon fodder. I'm sorry. It's cannon fodder. All right? But the devil, using the Catholic Church, boycotts. And he will do it using boycotts, which is actually cancel culture. Remember, cancel culture and boycotts are the same thing. It's just a modern term for boycott. All right? And let's face it, it's already established in the earth. How many ever remember for the last 4 years standing in line at Costco and you're standing 6 feet apart and the line would go around the building almost because people wanted to go in shopping, but it was one of the only places they allowed you to go in. But you had to stand 6 feet apart. Or how many people have ever seen the university campuses where they had circles all over the grass? They spray painted big circles, 6 foot radius circles. And you know what? If you were in that circle, nobody else could be in. So they had circles all over the mat, okay? All over. And you know, that's kind of funny because that reminds me of a dream I had about 20 years ago. And I was in a certain place and they were on, it was a picnic area, and they were on picnic blankets and they were all separated by about 6 feet. I don't remember exactly, it might have been 10, so maybe it's different. But anyway, they were all separated from each other. And I just think that's kind of interesting because that's what they do. So we're looking at boycotts. That's Satan's Eden, is boycotts. We're living in it right now. The very same script the deep state in the USA is using against President Trump, saying he led an insurrection, is the very same script the deep state in Brazil used against Bolsonaro and his supporters. Remember, Trump and his supporters were arrested in D.C. They arrested the Bolsonaro and his supporters in Brazil. They did the same thing to Marie Le Pen in France. She was going to win the election, and they arrested her and took her name off the election ballot. And so they're trying to do the same there. They did this. Listen, in Canada, they didn't have a vote for this person, this liberal person that's taken over from Trudeau. They gave it to him, and yet there's more people that wanted the other guy. You know, he's conservative, but they didn't even have an election. And you know what? He doesn't even say anything about it. I don't understand that. I'd be crying to the high heavens, you know, and saying, hey, this is rigged. This guy shouldn't be here. You know, he's just a billionaire that you want to take over for Trudeau, and he's preaching the same stuff. So it doesn't matter what country you go into. It's all the same. It's all rigged. All right? Look at Poland, same thing. They put George Soros, you know, put the president of Poland in there. You only got a few people, Hungary and a couple other nations, that are speaking out against it. That's it. But you notice Hungary hasn't left the EU either. They should. They should just say, we don't want nothing to do with you so-called elites. We are putting up a fence and keeping all of you out. That's what they should do. But they won't do it. Like, you see so many people on X. Why don't we do the same things the left is doing? Well, see, it's going to be that way. It's going to become cancel culture. We'll cancel you out and you'll cancel us out. I mean, that's the way it's going. Well, we're all going to be canceled out here. But God's not going to cancel us out. He's going to draw us in. Okay? So it's the same script in France. Is using to arrest the number one candidate, President-elect Le Pen. Not elect, but she should be. And the same exact script used in Romania. They have called for the confiscation of the president of Brazil's passport, and they charged even his supporters with storming their capital. Same scenario. The very same script. Why? Because they're Satan's children. Remember? Fill ye up the measure of your fathers. That's what Jesus said. You can bet the Vatican tried to repeat the same scenario down there as well. Why? Because it worked there in Brazil. So they thought, you know, they're not too bright of people because they can't come up with anything original. It's always the same script. Same as they are with you, same as they are in the UK, for going to the police and telling that bunch of foreigners, you know, if a person in the UK says, look, they molested me. They raped me, whatever. The police put that person in jail and let the men that did it, which were foreigners, which were Muslims, get away. They just let them say, arrest the girl, get her off the street. Insanity. We're looking at end time insanity. The whole world is going insane. So you get arrested. Not the assailant gets arrested. They arrest you. And the last call going out to catch the bride before she gets into that, for once, excuse me, the last call is going out to catch the bride before she gets into that. Thank God. For once in that, she's took the mark of the beast and doomed. She'll never come out of it. So don't ever, ever, ever become part of that system. So we see this will not happen until the Lord has gathered his bride and taken her out of here. That's the reason he told us to separate ourselves from the things of the world, which includes the worldly church. And he says, that's the reason it said, come out from among them, my people, before it goes into him. See, come out from among them and be separated. From 1755, he says, now, hatred and death and eternal separation from God in this Eden, lust, filth, perversion. How? By sowing the wrong seed. Remember in Peter, you're born again by an incorruptible seed? You're born by not a corruptible seed, he says, but you're born by an incorruptible. You're born by the word of God. You see, you are born by an eternal thoughts of God. But you're not born again by a corruptible seed, which we see comes from a corruptible or comes out of a corruptible system. Reminds me of the vision I've seen before I ever met the Pentecostal people, of that man going around the world in white. We know the wrong seed is the wrong word. And we know the wrong word is any word that's other than God's word. Paul said any other word and you receive the curse. You've heard me tell many times, one came in behind him sowing seed of discord, but he won it fairly in Eve, in the Garden of Eden, by the lust of Eve for sin, the lust of Eve for sin. In other words, she had a desire to receive something other than the word. In 1975, Brother Vail went to Norway to teach the message from the Bible. And you know what they did? They invited make-believer ministers who were not even called to the ministry the next year and the next year and on and on and on. Is that correct, John? I said, no, I didn't say a person's name. I said, they make believers. All right. When I crisscrossed the globe, I taught the same message and took them back to the Bible to show the Perusian Godhead and how we are sons in this world. And you know what happened? Make believers followed me and went to the same countries that I went to, from the Philippines to Uganda and South Africa and other countries over there in Africa, okay? And they went to the same places. And he said he was teaching the same thing, but he wasn't, because he was bringing in other things. They twisted and told all those people that now that you understand the Godhead, now that you understand the Perusia correctly, you've got to be baptized over. The prophet never said that. Brother Vail never said that. I never taught that. But they did, because they want to have converts to their idioms. But the prophet didn't teach that. And they ordered the people to boycott others that weren't following their teaching, to cancel out other churches. They did that to me all over. Not the people I went to preach to, people around. They said, don't go to it. Listen, Brian, he's preaching to God. It's like they said with Brother Vail. But cancel out other peoples who do not believe like you. It's the same spirit with the same cancel culture. Why? Because it's Satan's Eden. Don't tell me that Satan's Eden can't affect people who claim to follow William Branham. If it took 50 years to make the Pentecostal church worse than the Catholic church, and we've seen it, it's taken less than 50 years to make the message people worse than the Catholic or than the Pentecostals that they came out of. I'm not talking about the people who believe the message. I'm talking about the people who use the message to make money. That's what it's all. It's their market share. They got to have a big church and fill it up fill it up so you get lots of money. It's the same spirit with the same cancel culture, because it's Satan's Eden. Brother Branham says, then if Eve lusted for knowledge, it was sin. And when we lust for knowledge, when we want a PhD or LLD, it's sin to do so. And you know what? There are message ministers that got their PhDs and LLDs and got their turnaround collars. One was in Germany. And it's sin to do so. Sin. Disbelief. That's a strong statement, but that's the truth. No matter how strong it is, it's still the truth. See, to lust for knowledge and understanding. So he goes on and shows how Satan accomplished. Now, I'm not against understanding God's word, because the Bible says if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you won't understand it. There's a difference between understanding God's word and understanding their word and their theology and their doctrine and their creeds. All right? So he goes on and shows how Satan accomplishes his plan to deceive many. The Bible says deceived and being deceived. I mean deceiving many, excuse me. So these men deceive themselves, and thus they deceive others, because they are very sincere in their misbelief. But it's wrong. So they are deadly sincere themselves, and those who hear them think, oh, they are so sincere, they must be right. Have you ever heard anybody say that to you? Well, that preacher's so sincere, he's got to be right. Or that person is so sincere, he's got to be right. No, he's sincerely wrong. 2 Timothy 3:13 says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Huh. You know, a lot of them don't even know what they're doing. But they're deceived. Most of the elitists in the world believe in their own made-up lies. You know, they'll tell you that, oh yeah, chemtrails. Yes, there was chemtrails. But you see, those chemtrails are to keep global warming at bay. Have you heard that? I've heard that from the president of the EU. They believe the lies are spreading because they're sincere. They're sincerely deceived. Especially concerning the plagues they have brought on mankind. So the way that Satan shall set up his Eden is by deception. You know, Bill Gates doesn't even allow his daughter to be vaccinated. She's not vaccinated. But he wanted everybody else in the world to be vaccinated. He was run out of India because the vaccination he was pushing there was making girls bleed continuously from the HPV. He did the same thing down in Peru. When I was down in Peru, I read down there that they were mad because the World Health Organization had put chemicals in to make them continuously bleed. Why? Because they want to reduce population. That's what they want to do. What do you think the other vaccines are all about? It's to reduce population. Now, there's a few that were meant right, okay? But any of this mRNA is of the devil because it's mechanical. It's not even, it's chemical. And it's not even a vaccine. A vaccine, you take parts of the, you know, like a, if you have a real vaccine, there's live vaccines like polio, but there's also attenuated vaccines or vaccines that have been put into a centrifuge, breaks off, you know, the thorax and the wings and the legs or whatever of the bacteria, and then you're getting, your body builds up T cells that, you know, here's the thorax, here's the body. That's the way I can explain it. I mean, I don't think bacteria have wings and head, but anyway, it breaks it up into pieces, okay? So you're getting an immunity from the pieces. Therefore, you're getting it from the whole. That's what acellular vaccines are all about. But most of the elites believe their own medicine, okay? Now, we are warned that they shall wax worse and worse, okay? So it's not going to get any better. It's actually getting worse. both being deceived themselves and then deceiving others. Why? Because they are so sincere. So you can hardly blame them for being deceived themselves and then spreading their deception to others because they don't have the Holy Ghost or the Spirit of truth, which leads you into all truth. That is John 6:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. That's the Lord who descended with a shout. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. And without the Holy Ghost, they cannot understand the things of God. That is 1 Corinthians 2:13. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God knows. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know. In other words, we receive it in order to know the things that are freely given us from God. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So the natural man cannot know what you know. Wow. Because they themselves are deceived first, and then they lead others into what they think is the right way, but is actually a deception. Remember, there's a way which seemeth right unto man, but the ways thereof are the ways of death. How many times have I heard people say, but he's so sincere? I know you've got to have heard that. Oh, he's so sincere. Brother, I won't even say names because I don't want to defame anybody, but your brother so-and-so, he's so sincere. He's so likable. He's such a nice man. I don't care if he's nice or if he's crusty. It makes no difference to me. What makes a difference is whether he's telling the truth. And people who sacrifice their children to volcanoes, there's people that do that in the South Pacific. They would throw their children into volcanoes to appease the volcano god. Yeah. They're sincere. Those who throw their children into crocodiles, like they did in parts of Africa and Florida, and to appease their god, they're deadly sincere. God don't care how sincere you are. He cares if you believe him and his word. First time I went out, and I was talking with Brother Vail, and he was saying some things, and I went to bed because I was righteous, holy. I wouldn't hear certain words said to me. And I went to bed and I said, Lord, how could a man have so much of the Spirit of God in him and speak like he does? And God said to me, he did. It was God. I know it was God. He said, which of my prophets were not crusty? And immediately I saw Elijah and how he talked to, he said, why don't you go get your God? Oh, he's chasing women. Oh, why don't you go get, and he just, they were facetious. I mean, they were John the Baptist, go tell Herod that fox, They all were crusty. You say, John the Baptist crusty? You think John the Baptist wore a suit and tie? He dressed in camel skins. Ate locusts, came out of the wilderness, saying, repent. So you don't think those that worship Moloch were sincere when they sacrificed their own children to the pagan gods of stone? They were sincere and sincerely wrong. We're told in John 1:7, for many deceivers, are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. If people can't see that was God that was doing those things in William Branham, they're deceivers. They would say, well, he has a gift of knowledge. No, that was not a gift of knowledge. That was a sign of Messiah. That was a sign that the word was there. Oh, he's right when he says, thus saith the Lord, 10,000 times, but he's wrong in his doctrine. How can you be wrong in your doctrine and be right? I mean, how can you be? Brother Branham said, they don't even know what a prophet is. They think it's a gift of prophecy or something. Falls on a person once on a great moon. So we're commanded to test every spirit to see whether it is from God or not. This is said in 1 John 4:1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they be of God or not. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Why do we have to test the spirits? Because we don't know who is who. We don't know who's a real believer and who's a make-believer. Except by their fruits you shall know them. And Brother Brown said the fruit is the teaching of the season. So we know by what they're saying. Because a good tree cannot produce bad fruit. Neither can a bad tree produce good fruit. And how do we try them? We see if they are saying what Paul said or Paul taught. Galatians 1:6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So it's a perverted gospel. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which was preached unto you, let him be accursed. Martin Luther sat in his desk, and the devil showed up looking like Jesus. He had a crown on. He said, Martin, fall down and worship me. Martin saw the crown. He said, wait a minute, that doesn't jive with Scripture. He said, get up, depart from me, Satan. And Satan, he went away. You see, as soon as you tell Satan to leave, he will leave. When you start to tell Satan he's going to burn for a long, long time, that's his destiny. The Bible says that the whole world will look at him and say, is this the guy that troubled nations? Is this the guy? This puny little squirt, like, you know, some of those people that were pushing the vaccine. Puny little squirts. That's like Satan, okay? But though we are an angel from heaven, an angel. In other words, the one who came to William Branham, and Brother Branham said, just a minute, look, he gave him a vision, but let's got to check it by the word. Didn't he say that? I got to check every vision by the word. Though we are an angel, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be cursed. I am so thankful that we had a prophet that took everything back to the word. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, that's your denominational cronyism, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel that was preached of me is not after man. So here's the key. Paul says in verse 12, for I neither received it of any man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Are you going home to your houses and saying, well, that was a fine sermon Brother Brian preached? Or are you going home and saying, I want to see that for myself in the scripture. I want to read that again. I want the same revelation that he's preaching from. I want that to be part of my life. That's what you should be doing. It's got to be revealed, and it's got to say what Paul said. That's how you know the true from the fake. And in Titus 1:10 we read, for there are many unruly and vain talkers. It doesn't, what's vain? It means it's just of no use, okay? Many vain talkers, it does not say they're even called, but these men have one thing in common, they are deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. Now we are to see this deception everywhere at the end time, as we see in 2 Thessalonians 2:10. But with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, and then that perish because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. So because they loved not the truth, God turns them over to believe the lie, the same lie that Eve believed. And that is a strong delusion. I'm not going to die. Isn't that what Satan said? You shall not die. And as a result, they will perish. Now, 2 Thessalonians 2:11 says, and for this cause, God sends them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. So we see this whole beast system, which is a merger between political and religious world, is one big lie. Don't believe any of it, either side. And they say the word in such a way as to deceive as many as possible. Revelation 19 and 20, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. So he'll come with miracles. They both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And won't we have all the Pentecostals jump fully into that? And all the Pentecostals in this message even will go after, oh, he's doing the same thing Brother Brown did. Yeah, right, he is. He's not discerning the thoughts and intents of the heart. 2 Peter 2:13, and they shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, which is wrong thinking, as they count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Well, we've seen a lot of rioters in this day, haven't we? I didn't see so many riots until about 1970. Then we saw it on the campuses and stuff again. As they count pleasure to riot in the daytime. That's all that BLM stuff. And isn't this a generation where we see all the rioting going on, like BLM riots, that destroy much of this nation? Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with who? Can you say you? All right. They're feasting with you. They're saying they're message believers, but they're not. All right. While they listen to the same tapes that you are listening to and even call it steak and meat in due season, all the while they're eating with you, and yet by revelation, in which they do not have any of what the prophet's actually saying, and because they have not the Spirit of God in them, they are not capable of understanding the things of God that you do. So this spirit of deception is amongst them that are feasting with you, listening to the same tapes you're listening to. As Luke says, and he said, take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, I am anointed, and the time draws near. Go ye not therefore after them. Just stay your ground and refuse to follow the group. No matter how much they claim to be feasting with you, you have a one-man ministry to follow. So follow that. If they do not say what that one man says, they have ulterior intentions. They might play what that one man said, but they won't say what that one man said. There's a big difference between night and day. There's a big difference in Noah's day to be in the ark or out of the ark. The word in is a very precise meaning. From his sermon, from the unveiling of God, Brother Bram said, notice, only Moses had the word. Now, there wasn't a group come down. There wasn't just the Pharisees or the Sadducees, or it wasn't a sect, a certain sect or a clan. It was Moses. So it's not a message group. That is not who you follow. It is a prophet. And if other claims to follow the prophet that say that they will speak what the prophet spoke and said, they're going to do it. They're going to speak it, what he said. But if they do not say what he said, notice I never said play what he said, because both righteous and unrighteous play what he said, but they're not both speaking what he said. But you must say what he said and only what he said. That's what he told us to do. And of course, you have to play it to say it. So I have nothing wrong with listening to tapes. I love listening to tapes. But I also believe in saying it. They don't push that part of it. They push play only. Nike pushes play. Instagram pushes play. You can look up the word push play in quotation marks. Just try it yourself. Go to Google. Type in push play and see how many organizations, how many companies are marketing using the words push play. It's a marketing scheme. That's all it is. Push play is a marketing scheme. All right? Need I say more? Just look it up. And if they do not say what he said, then they do not believe him, and they are not a real follower of him. That is how to tell who is a real believer or not. So they should start saying, say, like Brother Branham said, say it. See, he said, only say what I said. Paul said, only say what I said. Anybody who doesn't say what I said, he's cursed. All right? So he said, he got one man. He can't get two or three different minds. He takes one man. Moses had the word, and Moses alone. Joshua even didn't have it. No one else had it. Amen. Joshua was a general. Joshua was a commander of the army. Joshua was a believer in Christ. But Moses was a prophet. The word can't come to Joshua. It's got to come to Moses. Now, if I didn't put Brother Branham's words up here and the Bible up here, then I wouldn't be here myself. Because I would dare say only my own words, because I know that I'm going to have to give an account for every idle word that I've said. That's what the Bible says. So if I can say that I only said what Brother Branham said and Jesus said and Paul said, Moses said, then I'm going to hear an echo when I say that, okay? So Moses was a prophet. The word can't come to Joshua. It's got to come to Moses. He was the major prophet of the hour. Notice the word never did come to Joshua until Moses was gone. No, sir. I couldn't say what the prophet said until the prophet was gone. And now I'm in a different generation. I can say exactly what he said. That's what he's saying right there. God deals with one man at a time. I'm not talking about God dealing with me. I'm talking about God dealing with the prophet. And I'm showing you I'm echoing. That's all I'm doing. I'm just echoing. I hope that's all you're doing too, echoing. God is one. See, now, only Moses had the word, not a group. From the unveiling of God, 156. Look, God warned any person not to try to follow Moses into that veil. Impersonators. See, there's a difference between echoing and impersonation. All right? Because impersonation, you got your own thing, but you're trying to act like the person. See, women, man, priest, whoever it was, how godly, how much honor, he warned Moses, let Moses come alone, and if any man, even an animal, touches it, it must be killed right there. Never break before the veil. That veil belongs to one person. That message is one. See, in the temple, one man went in once a year, anointed and fixed to go in it, not to bring out the word, but to offer blood. To even walk in there before it, only one. Any other man died. See? From the unveiling, 157. They spiritually die now. This is a spiritual veil. See? That was a natural veil. This is a spiritual veil. See? They keep walking right on in behind them. You can tell them. Oh, I know. I know that. But I said, go ahead. It's all right. Only speak. Remember, the last plague in Egypt was death before the Exodus. The last plague on earth is spiritual death before the Exodus. Then they'll be cremated and turned back to dust, and the righteous will walk out upon their ashes. But the last thing is spiritual death, rejecting the word. So all I'm saying is, look, you have a prophet who has went around the world. His voice was magnetically taped. You listen to the voice, and then you say what he said in your conversations to one another or your teaching. You don't just say, we're a tape church only. We play the tape, because the people walk out and they don't say what they heard. They play it again. Well, brother so-and-so, we have some questions. Play the tape. You hear your answer. Why don't you tell them? Because you don't know. Because you didn't listen. So you got to play it again. If you listen, you could say what he said. If you don't listen, you don't say what he said. You don't repeat what he said. You don't echo what he said, because you don't really remember. Because you're a lazy Christian. And I say that sincerely. If you're not studying the message, look, you have to study to become a nurse. Is that right? You know that. You have to study to graduate from high school. You know that, kids? All right. You have to study to become a lawyer. You have to study to become a paralegal. You have to study to do all of these things. You have to study to fly an airplane. Is that right? To drive a truck. Is that right? We know. Why don't they study the message? Why don't they study to show themselves approved? Approved of who? Of God. He wants to hear his own voice. He wants you to say it, not play it. Say it. Do you get on your knees and talk to God and then say, I can't say it, but I can play it. And you put it on tape so God can hear the tape. When God was the author who gave the words to William Branham to say, so you're going to just play it. Why don't you say it so that he knows you got it? Huh? So he goes on in 158. Now notice, God warned any person not to try to follow Moses into the veil of fire. Moses was to be veiled. He had to come out of there. Moses went in as Moses. He went into the pillar of fire, and when he walked back out, he was veiled. For he went into there out of his traditions, the traditions of the elders. He had saw the pillar of fire. Now he goes into that pillar of fire. See, amen. And he come forth veiled. God's word in a man veiled. Here he come walking out. Oh my, I can see it. Warned nobody else to try it. Nobody can impersonate that. You better not see. That's why I'm very, very careful. I don't say, well, praise the Lord, God gave me a message today, and I'm going to speak to you the words of God. I don't say that. I say, I'm preaching what Brother Branham said, and I'm taking you to the Bible so you can see that what he said is exactly what God said in Paul, or God said in Jesus or Moses, you know. Even a priest or a holy man, whoever it was, cardinal, bishop, anything else, trying to go into that veil, he died. God warned them. Will have no impersonation. So I don't care if you can say, Lord bless you, my brother. I'm such a sincere person, and I'm trying to imitate some. And you know what? Brother Branham came with his totes and Kentucky language, and the people didn't understand what he said. He didn't come, Lord bless you, my brother. That was other people, and most of them were the deity people that I know. Again, from 159, he says, his word is to be revealed to one. It's always been. A prophet came with the word of the Lord each age, every time, down through the scripture. The word comes to one in every age, the same, even in the church ages, from the very first to the last. Others have their places. That's right. Notice, but stay away from that pillar of fire. See, what a lesson we learn here. See, everybody waiting to be a Moses. And everybody. And from 160. You remember what Dathan and them said out there? They said, now Moses, wait here just a minute. You take too much upon yourself. See? Now there's other men here God has called. 161. And that's true. Yeah, other men God has called. They each one were following fine as long as they went along. But when one tried to step up and take God's position that he gave to Moses, which was predestined and ordained to that job, tried to take it, fire came down and opened up the earth and swallowed them right into it. You see, as long as they were following the light, which Moses was following, they were perfectly fine. God clothed them, he fed them, he did all these things, but as soon as they stepped aside and said, hey, Moses, you take too much upon yourself, they would try to withstand Moses, and God took them out. So be careful, see? Just be a good, godly, God's godly Christian, believe in the word, see? Stay away from that pillar. What a lesson. And then he says, 162. God had first appeared to Moses in a burning bush. God was veiled in the pillar of fire. Now listen real close now for a minute. God first come to Moses. He was veiled. God was in the pillar of fire. Hid back in a bush, see? Like behind the skins, see, back by the mercy seat at the altar, see, he was veiled. He is always veiled, and when he come to Moses, he was in a pillar of fire, veiled in a pillar of fire. But here before the people, God vindicated him by the same pillar of fire. See, Moses said, now watch, what are you reading? Are you letting your minds drift away? Can you? He who has got ears, let him hear. See? So we go back to Satan's Eden and pick up at paragraph 55, where Brother Branham was saying, the thing of it is today we don't try to establish the word of God in the people's heart. We're trying to establish ourselves. Oh, we got this great missionary endeavor, and we go and we buy ambulances and we do this and we do that, and we build a few churches, but we own those churches, and so nobody can ever disagree with us or we take the church away. You see, no, we don't do that here. Build the church, it's up to them. If they go into heresy, that's their problem. We tried as God's children to help anybody. We fed hundreds. We fed ministers for years and years and years. But if they turn from the word, I won't feed them anymore. I'm sorry. I just, you know, they're on their own. They can ask God to, just like the one to Uganda. They said, well, when you come, we need $1,500 to feed the people. I said, how many people are going to be? Oh, there might be about between 600 and 2,000. I said, okay. So why don't they bring their own food? I said, if we go to church someplace or go to a meeting someplace, we all go out to eat, we all go out to a restaurant, we pay for our own food. We don't expect the church to pay for our food for us. Okay? So why can't you do the same? Well, because we don't have jobs like you all have over there. I said, then you have the same God, don't you? I said, look, if I come, I said, if the people are starving, I'll pick up 5 loaves and 5 fishes and let's see what God does. If God doesn't want to feed them, you don't feed them. If God wants to feed them, he'll feed them. That's my attitude. Because God's obligated to me to do the same thing he did for his son. Or his purpose is different. He doesn't want those people fed. So that's the way you got to take it. Just do what God says to do and leave the results up to God. Because God's not going to save everybody. He's going to save those who are savable. So from 163, now watch. Are you reading? Are you letting your minds drift away? Can you? He who got an ear, let him hear. See? So again, like I said, we go back to 55 of Satan's Eden. He said, the thing of it is today, we don't try to establish the word of God in the people's hearts. We're trying to establish ourselves. Churches are trying to establish the doctrine of the church in a person's heart. We are commanded to establish the word of God. And the word of God is not only parousia. The word of God is not only the Godhead. The word of God is other things like living a life. If you got the Holy Ghost, you're going to live like you're holy, because he's holy, you're going to be holy. You see, if you die to yourself, you're going to, in Christ, you let Christ live in you. I mean, the word of God is many things. It's not just one or two things like some churches do. All right? Paul said, I didn't come to you with enticing words of men, that your faith might rest upon the knowledge of men, but I came to you in power, in manifestation of the Holy Ghost, that your faith might rest in God. And he continues at Satan's Eden, number 56. There you are. Men mustn't establish themselves. We find it amongst, now let God do something for a person, set him out. You find everywhere men trying to impersonate it. See, they're trying to establish themselves. The ministers who have followed me to different nations tried to establish themselves by saying, oh, now that we've got it, let's all be baptized. Well, I was already baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, do it again. You get the doctrine now. It didn't count when you didn't have the doctrine, but now it counts. Give me a break. You're not saying what the prophet said. You're establishing who? Yourself. Every man, well, I did this, me and mine, my denomination, like one preacher. He was following Brother Vail for a while, then he became against Brother Vail, and then he made a movie in his church. And they showed the light of God leaving after William Branham's funeral. They showed the funeral casket, and they showed the light going down and down and down. It got really dark, and all of a sudden, boom, it was all bright like Trump, you know. Walking out in the light. The light was all about Trump. That's what the guy did. He had all this light surrounding him like he was the Messiah. He's not the Messiah. He's the impersonator. All right? Trump is not the Savior. He even said it himself. He said there's Jesus Christ is the one who saves. Every man, well, I did this. My denomination, me, this, establishing themselves. What are we preaching about, ourselves or the kingdom of God? Establish the word. Take out the unbelief and establish the kingdom of God in a man's heart. Now notice he said, establish the word of God, take out the unbelief, and establish the kingdom of God in a man's heart. And the kingdom of God cannot be established in a man's heart lest God made that man thus. He cannot be established. And remember the deceitful part that men think that it's right, see? But there's a way that seems right to a man, but the way thereof is the way of death. Every intellectual seems right. So, really, we should be trying to establish the word of God in a man's heart. It's all about the heart. God, Malachi 4 says he's here, he comes to change the hearts of the children to the hearts of the fathers. It's all about changing the heart, and that's the understanding. When the Bible speaks of the heart, it speaks of understanding. Brother Branham said so himself. From God's power to transform. He said, what are we trying to do anyhow? Are we trying to establish our church or are we trying to establish the word of God? What are we trying to do? What are we working at? What are we trying to get the people back into this? So we are not to establish our own church, nor are we trying to establish our own pet doctrines. We are commanded to establish the whole word of God and Christ Jesus as the head of the church in the people's heart. It's his kingdom that we should be talking about. It's not our kingdom. I know being in the ministry that the money comes in. This church has given out $1.82 million in 21 years. That's a lot of money. Now, I didn't have to do that. I could have kept it all for myself, like all the other ministers I know keep it for themselves, and they all drive big BMWs and everything else. They all keep it for themselves. But when it comes to God's children, I said, I'd rather feed the family of God that's overseas. You know, people said to me, what are you going overseas for? Are you trying to make something of yourself? I said, no, I want them to have the same revelation I have. They're my brothers. And when I went overseas and I saw the destitution, I started helping them financially. I took from mine and gave to them. That's what the true servant of God will do. All right? So we are commanded to establish the whole word of God in Christ Jesus as the head of the church in the people's hearts. It's his kingdom that we should be talking about. It's not our kingdom. It's not, well, can we get a bigger church now? Now that we're almost taking up all the pews, we can get a bigger church. No. Preach a little harder so we can get rid of you. That's the way you do it. 1 Thessalonians 3:13. To the end he may establish your heart unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the parousia of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Now, does the establishing of our hearts have to wait for his second coming when we meet him bodily in the air? Or is there to be a ministry that will make ready a prepared people for the Lord? What do you think the shout is all about? It's making ready a prepared people. Do we wait for a second coming to become a holy people, or is the process in operation now? I am becoming holy because he is holy and he's living in me. If we must wait until the meeting of the air, then we will already have a glorified body before this condition of holy and blameless can occur. Is that possible? No, it's not possible. If the scripture speaks of our hearts being established, then how can we wait until the meeting in the air? Brother Branham taught us that we take the condition of our hearts here into that other dimension. He said, the way you are now is where you're going to be there. So our hearts have to change, to be changed on this side of the resurrection. After all, if this scripture places the establishing of the hearts at the time that we meet Christ in the air, then we must place also Malachi 4 where the hearts of the children are to be established at the same time. In other words, everybody's lost. Notice it said, establish the word of God. Take out the unbelief. That's what you got to do first. Brother Vail said, if you got a habit you want to break, he said, find another habit so you can get rid of that one. Take out the unbelief. Establish the kingdom of God in a man's heart. And the kingdom of God cannot be established in a man's heart unless God made that man thus. He cannot be established in, and remember the deceitful part that men think that it's right, see? From Christ the mystery God reveals that. Now notice, in this last days, Lucifer's doing the same thing. Can you see it? The devil's doing the same thing, building up a hybrid church, a hybrid by hybrid members, hybrid by knowledge instead of the word of God, by intellectual men instead of a born-again man, building an intellectual kingdom that'll outshine Christ's little bitty flock. See, what is that that he did that? Fallen angels. The Bible said it was fallen angels who listened to Lucifer instead of Christ, who they once belonged to. Is that right? Now notice, close, fallen angels. So what kind are they? Lutheran, Wesley, Catholics, Pentecostal, who kept not their first estate like the angels did and has fallen into organizations like Lucifer's main hold at Nicaea. And what have they done? They've organized a great ecumenical association of ministers to make an image unto the beast, as the Bible said, and building a Christian economy that'll close the doors of this church and others like it. See, Lucifer at his work. Now I'm trying to bring you the threefold revelation of Christ, the mystery of God. What did they do? They sold out to the reasoning of wisdom and education like Eve did. Fallen angels did. Wesley was a man of God, but what followed him? Fallen angels got into it. What happened to Luther? Fallen angels got into it. What happened to Wesley? Fallen angels got into it. What happened to William Branham? Fallen angels got into the message. Right before Brother Van died, he said there's already 17 versions of the message being preached out there. That was back in 1965. How many do you think you have today? Mine's 57. I'm trying to bring you the threefold revelation of the mystery of God. What did they do? Sold out to the reasonings of wisdom and education like Eve did. Fallen angels did. Wesley was a man of God, but what followed him? Fallen angels got into it. What was the angels first? Created beings of God. They fell for Lucifer's wisdom. And you see what they become? Fallen angels. I think we can close it. And organizations from a man of God who's went forth to establish truths of the earth. Are you excluding William Branham from that? You better not be. All right? And organizations from a man of God who went forth to establish truths in the earth. That's what William Branham did. Before that truth could go along in proclamation and get on to the real revelation of Christ, fallen angels come in and took it over and made denominations out of it. And Brother Vail said, and I'll quote him, he said, the make-believer has taken over this message. That's the reason the revelation of the seven seal mystery had to be unfolded. Now you see it, what they left off. If Luther would have went on, it had been here. If Wesley would have went on, if Pentecost would have went on, but what would they have done? You see, if they had stayed with the word, they'd be here, but they didn't. And so he said, this message is a million miles beyond Pentecost. How many miles is it to the sun? 184,000, something like that. So beyond the sun is the difference between here and Pentecost. Well, let's just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're thankful, Lord, for your word. I know it's hard, but Lord, it's not really hard. It's just helping us to, just metal against metal, just rubbing off all the dross and all the carb and all the rust and everything that has gotten onto us in this world. But Lord, help us to be just reflecting your glory as we see it in word. It's more precious to us than gold that perishes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.